shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We'll put our guest, Chris Garvin, is on the line there from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania tonight. We're going to talk with him further about Paul Ryan and the selection of Paul Ryan as a running mate for Mitt Romney, which Chris has called a gift to Obama. It has ensured, in the words of Chris, the re-election of President Obama. We'll take more of your phone calls. We have little Ian Anderson in with a review of a new TV show called Grimm. He's going to be up later on in the hour. We have our news and information hour coming up. And a reminder that if you are of a mind, you can watch our show as well as listen to it at philhendryshow.com. We have a live streaming high definition video cast of our show every night, Phil TV in HD. And with a backstage pass, you can see that. You can see, you can see us performing the show. Also, we're giving away a free year of backstage access to the Phil Hendry website. And you can put yourself in the running for that by hashtagging BSP at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show or by going over to our fan page and liking our fan page. It's at Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry, P-H-A-N-S, Phil Hendry fans. We also have a episode 30 of the Free Phil Hendry podcast dropping today. And it's a Milwaukee Lions game, bud.
Yeah, it's Jack I. Gagner.
Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison with a Milwaukee Lions game from 1980 against the Sacramento Gold. So if you haven't heard the Milwaukee Lions, you're missing it. 877-876-7445. Bringing back here our friend Chris Garvin and this idea of Obama getting a gift-wrapped package, a present from the Republican Party of another 4 years. You're saying that Paul Ryan is a disaster because the guy is a rich boy who never had to work for a thing in his life, so he can't possibly understand the working man.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, Bill. And
hold on, I'm just going to get all these. You say that Paul Ryan is not going to be able to relate to anybody. From the standpoint of his plan for a voucher for Medicare, and he's also a kind of a wannabe in that he reads Ayn Rand, but he's never lived it. He's never walked the walk. All right. So Romney has made the dumbest decision that anybody's made since John McCain picked Sarah Palin. Is that it?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think that there is any better way of putting it. I mean. And the thing that I think has struck me, Phil, over the last few minutes as I've been talking to some of the people that have been calling your program, is that they're good people and they're hardworking people and so on and so forth, but they're buying into the fairy tale, okay? They're buying into the fairy tale that somehow this picking of Paul Ryan is something that the majority of Americans relate to. I think that the guys that have been supporting Paul Ryan in the last few minutes that I talked to, just like that lady said, are part of that underclass of white people that Paul Ryan looks down as though that.
Now, that was an interesting thing she said. She said that rich white people look down on poor white people more than they do black people.
That's a fact. Now, that's a natural fact.
Where are you getting this? Where is she getting that? What does that mean?
Well, it's simple. If you are a entitled, well-to-do white person, and you see some guy, some truck driving hillbilly redneck type, you think there but for the grace of God go I. There but for the grace of God go I. And if you think about the people with the white people with money, let's talk about Paul Ryan. Every time he sees a hillbilly driving down the road there in Wisconsin with the truck and the rebel flag, although it's Wisconsin, I don't know if they have a rebel flag in Wisconsin, but I'm sure they do. Paul Ryan probably thinks, there but for the grace of God go I. See? And
Paul Ryan probably thinks. You haven't brought up any evidence that this is the man's mindset. All you're talking about, these are very prejudicial statements that are based on a stereotype.
Whoa. Those are a whole lot of $50 words there, Phil. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is what I just said. I'll say it again. What you're saying about Paul Ryan here are these are very prejudicial views based upon a stereotype that you have of rich whites. All right.
Did I not say to you that I lived the life when I was in high school and college? Guys like Paul Ryan would come in, and I was bussing tables.
No, you told me all about bussing tables.
I was bussing tables at Coco's, and a guy like Paul Ryan would come in with the most beautiful girl on campus, the most gorgeous girl on campus, and then the two of them would look at me, and they'd butt their cigarettes to their coffee. They'd put the cigarette out in the coffee. And probably were thinking, there but for the grace of God, go I.
As they were looking at you.
Yes. 877-876-7445.
All right, we left Albert here hanging, and we're going to get back to him because he's been very patient. Albert, you're back on the air with us here. It's a brand new hour. I apologize. We had to hold you over. Go ahead, sir. What did you want to say?
I'll tell you, man, I pick up people every day in my cab, okay? And I get a lot of poor people. I got a lot of rich people. And, you know, some rich guys get in my cab, you know, and they're whatever, you know, with the little attitude like he's talking. But a lot of them, you know, they throw me $20 bills, $50 bills, you know. So you can't judge somebody just because they're born into money or whatever. That's just asinine. And as far as Obama.
Think it's fair of me to say, don't you think it's fair of me to say, though, that those people don't know anything about your cab driving experience?
Your cab is known.
What's that?
I didn't.
What did you just say to me?
I got a customer in my cab that's talking right now. And
is he rich?
No.
He's not rich. Well, that
was
a mistake. Should have picked up a guy with money, and then we could have asked him, hey, what do you think about this guy driving the cab?
I think what Albert's saying is he's trying to transact some business right now. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, Albert, we're going to let you. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say one thing, Albert. You're a cab driver, and I think that that's a good thing. But as a cab driver, you don't want to be picking up somebody who looks down his nose at you and says, there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Hey,
oh,
man,
boy.
It's another dollar in my pocket. I don't care what he says about me.
Are you serious?
Oh, dead serious.
You're trying to tell. Really? So if this guy's in your cab and he's thinking in his mind, as you're driving along, he's thinking, thank God I'm not that poor, wretched soul. It doesn't make any difference to you.
No, it doesn't. Because I'm saying, you know, I wish I was him. You know? So what?
Yeah, but he's not. Yeah, but that's different from what he's saying. He's saying, thank God I'm not him.
All right. Well, one guy has money and the other guy doesn't.
Yeah, but see, you want a guy like that being Vice President of the United States.
All right. Thank you very much, Albert. Time for you to go back. We've been interrupting your work long enough. 877-876-7445.
Oh, that guy wanted to say some more. I like talking to him because that guy is a working guy. See?
Yeah, but he was not backing up what you were saying. He was saying it doesn't matter to him. He was saying that everybody in his mind is the same, rich people, poor people.
I don't think he was being honest, though, when I said to him that if there's a cab driver, if the guy is a rich guy, says, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. I don't think he's being honest. I think nobody wants anybody to say that about them. And if you have a vice president of the United States and a guy like this Paul Ryan, who every day he gets out of bed there at the vice presidential residence, we'll be looking out his window at cab drivers and people delivering newspapers, at domestic servants going to and fro, looking out his window even at cops, maybe even at soldiers, and thinking the same thing, there but for the grace of God go I. But I think that you're barking up the wrong tree. You are. You might not even be a dog, and you shouldn't even be going near a tree. That's how wrong you are. In fact, trees shouldn't have anything to do with it. That's how way out of sight of the...
All right, fine. I understand.
You get my meaning.
Yeah, I get your meaning. All right, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just news being reported here that Helen Gurley Brown has passed on. She, the author of the book Sex and the Single Girl, and she went on to become the editor and publisher of Cosmopolitan magazine. Helen Gurley Brown, I believe 90 years of age, has passed on. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Chris Garvin, your phone calls, and also later on in the hour, little Ian Anderson on the new TV show Grimm. All ahead, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
The Phil
go
Hendry
Lions.
Show.
Oh, yeah, go Lions.
Woo!
World-famous Bill Henry Show.
And we're back here on the world-famous Bill Henry Show, 877-876-7445. I got Chris Garvin on the phone here from the Pennsylvania Daily as we talk about the what he calls the disastrous pick of Mitt Romney of Paul Ryan. So far, you've been talking an awful lot about Paul Ryan's financial status. You've been talking an awful lot about how guys like that used to butt their cigarettes in the coffee cups that you were bussing from tables. You don't feel that that's irrelevant?
No, I don't think it's irrelevant at all, Phil. I don't know why I would think that was irrelevant. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Look, you want me to comment on Ryan's politics? I just told you what Ryan wants to do. Ryan wants to shut down the social safety net of the United States of America, Social Security, And all of the safety nets we had, wants to shut it down. He thinks everybody who is anybody, is anyone that would have any money coming from the government's got to be lazy. That means the GIs of the GI Bill are lazy. Okay, that's what he wants to do. And then on top of that, he's never worked a day in his life. That's why I say Ryan reminds me of those guys that would climb a ladder. I remember when I was working in construction briefly, and he was the guy who was the son of the owner. And I remember working for a guy who was the son of the owner, and the owner said to me, "Well, my son's going to show you where you got to go up this ladder, Chris, and you got to, frame some of these, frame this upper level of a house we were building."
Okay.
And as I went up the ladder behind this guy, guess what he did? He broke wind as I'm behind him, and then he left. Now, if anything tells you the story of a guy that is entitled punk, a punk kid that would break wind in your face as you're going up a ladder, that's exactly Paul Ryan. And the American people are going to be the recipients of that.
That's a boyhood prank, though, isn't that?
Well, it's sad, but it's coming from a rich kid.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let me get over to a phone call here on the line. We have Roger. Roger. Well, shoot. I just locked that line up, Dan. Roger, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. What I wanted to say is I don't care about the rich, because there's a lot of rich politicians out there. Even Nancy Pelosi, she's rich, and everything. She's the one that screwed up the economy in the first place when she became Speaker of the House and Democrats controlled the Senate. That's when the economy went and tanked. They did that to make George Bush look bad. That's what that was. And
Wait a second. She's not rich.
I think she is, too. She had all this thing out in California and all this, and it doesn't make any difference anyway. I mean, a guy can be a billionaire and never work a day in his life. We look at our president we got now. He doesn't. Where has he worked at? He's never bust tables or anything. He's done is go around and talk about stuff.
He's not a millionaire.
And go on vacation. That's all he's done since he's been in
office. He's not a millionaire. Hold on.
If you're going to talk over people, I'm going to hang up on you, okay, Roger? Nobody's going to hear what you have to say. You got to just hold on.
Yeah, that guy's talking over me, Phil.
I already talked to him, and I don't want you to do the same thing, if you don't mind, Chris.
All right, let's have a reasonable conversation. Yeah. When you were in high school, wasn't there a rich guy? You heard the story that I just told you about the son of the guy that I worked for in construction. And what job do you think he had? Oh, he all of a sudden's a foreman. He never worked. He's a foreman. Okay. So
you're making a lot of allegations, though. You're making a lot of allegations about Paul Ryan that you don't even know about. You don't even know
what
you're
talking about,
all that or not. That's just all your talk.
Are you on Morse code? Because I'm hearing all these beeps and stuff.
No, that's his phone. That's his phone.
All right.
Your phone's making some funny noises there, Roger.
I just want to say this, Roger. The guy goes up the ladder and cuts a fart in my face. All right? Now, that Phil said that's a childish thing that a guy would do. All right? But you'll notice it was the rich guy that did it. See?
Yeah. Well, the guy can be poor, too, and do that, but that's all irrelevant. I care about is what they're going to do for the country. And
fair enough.
Obama
fair
and his
enough.
Team have not done anything. If I have to grade them, they give me an F. I give them one F. That's what I give them.
Well, but keep this in mind. If Paul Ryan becomes the vice president, he's going to be the guy up the ladder ahead of you, cutting one in your face.
And boy, what does that mean, though, man? You can say that, but what does that mean?
It means that while Roger there is working as hard as he can to save as much money as he can, Paul Ryan's standing there and saying, hey, self-reliance and Ayn Rand, I read the book. And meanwhile, he's going over to his trust fund to pick out a few more million off the money tree.
Well, you make it sound like Paul Ryan goes out back to the money tree and just picks his salary.
That's right. Look, who else can afford to work in Congress but rich guys because they don't pay you nothing? That's the whole thing that I'm saying.
All right. Very good call. I appreciate that, sir. Thanks for your call. Roger, right? Thanks,
yeah.
Roger. 877-876-7445. You've been saying a whole lot of nothing here.
What's that?
You've been saying a whole lot of nothing here, in my opinion. You've been saying the...
what have I been saying that's a whole lot of nothing?
I mean, I can just go back over your comments. It's all about Paul Ryan was the kind of guy, the kind of guy, the kind of guy.
That's exactly right. I'm illustrating the person that he is.
All right, but the kind of guy is he butted his cigarette in a coffee cup. He farted going up a... ladder.
It is funny. It is funny. I know it's funny, Phil, but it is indicative of the mindset of these people. You see?
And this stuff about how, the white trash, they go to wrestling instead of going fishing, all this stuff. I think that there is a prejudice that you suffer from on your side of things that has to do with the kind of people that we've been hearing here tonight. Let me take a phone call, okay?
Yeah, I think you better, because what you just said there was everything you just said there made absolutely no sense. No sense at all. And I've got to think about it. I got to think about how I want to attack the stupidity of what you just said, Phil. I'm sorry.
All right, fine. 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Talking with us here is Chris Garvin from Pennsylvania. Here is Vernon. Go ahead, Vernon. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. It's Vernon Dozier, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak on your program tonight.
My pleasure.
To Mr. Garvin. Mr. Garvin?
Yep, sir.
Look, I'm a very, very conservative person, and I'll just get that out right up front. I'm very conservative. I'm even more conservative probably than Paul Ryan and all of them. Now, you're talking about the kind of guy that would go up a ladder and cut a fart and all of this. And I've been around guys like that. I've been around guys that are entitled. I've been around wealthy people. I've been around people who have power. I've always wanted to be one of them.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
What is that supposed to mean? It means that the man out here that's struggling, the man out here that is trying to provide for his family, wants to be... I mean, in his fondest dream, he wants to be that man. He wants to be that guy that's got money. He doesn't want to be you. He doesn't want to be the guy who's already got money and sitting there pretending like he wants to be poor, you know.
Well, wait. Hold on for just a minute. How do you know whether I have money or not?
I'm guessing if you're a longtime media representative.
Yeah, but how do you know? You don't know me.
But the fact is you do have money, Chris. Isn't it true?
The fact is that I have money, but I'm speaking on behalf. That's not the point.
I knew that you had money because that's the way you liberals are. You're rich, but you wish you were poor, or at least you want people to think you're poor, as opposed to conservatives who are rich, and they want people to know they're rich. Okay?
Yeah, but Paul Ryan isn't rich.
How do you figure Paul Ryan's not rich?
Well, he's not rich. It was somebody else that made the money, and Paul Ryan is sitting there and making money. He's not making money, see?
You resent Paul Ryan because he's the kind of guy that butted a cigarette in a coffee cup. Is that your main problem?
My main problem with Paul Ryan is that he never worked a day in his life, and he's pretending like he's read Ayn Rand.
So what? Have you ever read Ayn Rand?
I have no need to read Ayn Rand. I wouldn't read that kind of garbage. First of all, I don't approve... And this may come as a surprise. I don't approve of her as a lesbian. I don't approve of her lesbian work being in schools. See, they won't. Boy, oh boy.
Her lesbian works being in schools.
That's right. Do you hear any conservative saying, I don't want to have Ann Rand at the school, she's a lesbian? No, you don't. Because she's saying conservative lesbian stuff.
Boy, you just sound like, you sound like you're wrecked. From the neck up, you sound wrecked.
Well, you know, take one to know one.
Okay, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Takes one to know one, that's great.
Phil Henry Show here, and on the line with me is Chris Garvin. Chris is with the Pennsylvania Daily. Vernon Dozier is hanging on here with us as well from Belmar Academy, and more of your phone calls as well as we talk about Paul Ryan. And you were making the point, Vernon, about Ryan's conservatism being, every bit as much applicable or relatable to poor men as anything the Democrats have done.
Phil, hold on for a minute, Phil. This guy is saying
I think he was talking to me, though.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Chris.
This guy is saying, first of all, what he's saying is interesting. He's saying that the Paul Ryan, even though Paul Ryan has never in his life, had to work for a paycheck, had to work for a living. Paul Ryan is entirely relatable to a poor man. I'm just telling you right now, Paul Ryan would have nothing to do with you. I tell you because I was working with guys like this. These guys would do things like ask you to bring about a drink to the pool or something. If you were working at a helping around the house, and they said, bring a drink out to the pool. You bring the drink out to the pool, and they pull your pants down if you're walking back to the house.
Did you ever have a job like that?
I don't believe this man's ever had a job like that.
What's that?
Did you ever have a job like that?
Did I ever have a job like what?
Did you ever have a job?
I don't believe this guy's telling the truth.
Hold on, Vernon. Did you ever have a job taking drinks out to the pool?
I remember very clearly a friend of mine when I was in high school who had a buddy, and they had a domestic who was a young white man, not a black man, a young white man, and my friend would yank this guy's pants down and giggle about it.
I don't believe that. That sounds to me like your friend was probably had, probably enjoyed looking at guys that way, you know.
Okay. Are you saying my friend is gay?
That brings me up.
Hold on. Are you saying my friend was gay?
I'm saying that you had a very sick friend. You had a stupid, sick friend who would do things like that. I don't know whether you want to bring this up or not, Phil.
Well, that was not the case. I'm just saying that he had money. And
all right, so he had money, and he liked to mess around with guys that don't have money. He liked to...
No, he didn't like to mess around. You're making it sound like there's a homosexual connection, and there wasn't.
All right, hold on for just a minute, both of you guys. A moment ago, you said that Ayn Rand is a lesbian, and therefore her works were not suitable for a high school.
That's what I'm saying.
And I thought that you were a liberal, and therefore an individual who believed in the rights of gay people.
I absolutely do. But if you're going to hold to the same standard that the conservatives hold to, then Ayn Rand should not... None of her books should be in high school. She's gay, and...
You're pretty sure of that, huh?
What? Are you kidding? Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it, yeah. I mean...
I don't know. I mean, I thought she was married. I don't know. I'm sorry. I missed that part of Ayn Rand. I didn't know it was that big of a...
I don't think that there's any doubt.
Hey, Phil, that's a very good point that Mr. Henry's making. How do you know that Ayn Rand was gay?
Well, okay. You know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. If Ayn Rand is gay, then you conservatives are being the hypocrites of a lifetime by letting her stuff be in the school libraries and not doing something about it.
All right. Well, that depends on the kind of conservative. And I'll tell you, when I heard what you said...
What does that mean? That's the kind of conservative.
I think I don't think all conservatives are anti-gay anything. I mean, I think there are a lot of conservatives maybe against gay marriage, but I don't think they're against gay books in libraries, you know?
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I'm not saying that it's consistent. I'm not even saying I admire that kind of philosophy. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens. I'm sure that the conservatives are happy to have a gay in the library if it's a gay conservative, even though it's not a protected legal status.
Can I say something, Phil? I've been sitting here and I've been listening to about as much of this as I'm going to be able to stand. I mean, I am ready to throw up.
Well, you know what? Maybe you're throwing up because you're coming up.
I want to finish what I want to say.
Go ahead, Vernon.
All right.
Go ahead, Vernon.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it sounded so familial. Go ahead, Vernon.
Sir, you know, I've been listening to you.
Yeah, I understand. Because I have something to say that's worth listening to.
Well, you know what? I don't doubt that. But I'd like the audience to at least have an opportunity to hear what I got to say. Maybe it's worth listening to, too.
All right, but I mean, how do you feel when Mr. Henry goes, go ahead, Vernon?
I don't give a damn how he said it.
What is the point of you?
Well, I just think it's very interesting that you strike me as a conservative, Mr. Henry, and now you're all, go ahead, Vernon. See, I think that there is a basic hypocrisy among the conservative movement, including Paul Ryan, when it comes to gays.
How did we get on gays, man? How did we start talking about that?
Ayn Rand. You and this guy Ryan loves her.
All right, so fine. I mean, let's just keep that conversation for another time, if you don't mind. All right, I want to talk specifically and only about Paul Ryan's political philosophy and what you have been saying here, which I think was the most explosive comment you made tonight, and practically the I shouldn't say this, but
I'll say it. The only interesting comment you made tonight, the fact that this is going to hand Obama the next 4 years.
Oh, the only interesting comment I made tonight, huh?
Well, pretty much, because the rest of this stuff has been drivel.
Oh, boy.
Oh, look out, Phil. I think you hurt his feelings.
No, look, hey, I'm not the guy that said, go ahead, Vernon. So.
All right, so your insistence on talking about Ayn Rand being a lesbian.
I'm talking about you with go ahead, Vernon. That's what I'm talking. I'm talking about whatever is convenient for conservatives, they embrace. If it isn't convenient, then they don't embrace it. And I'm talking about this whole gay, the whole gay view and how conservatives go back and forth on whether they like gays. If it's a gay conservative, they like him. If it's not a gay conservative, if it's a gay liberal or something, they don't like him. You know,
I want to finish what I like.
Go ahead, Vernon. There, you want to make fun of that?
Sounds pretty. I mean, I recorded it.
Yeah, okay.
He recorded it. Now, I guess that's the only thing you're going to remember tonight, because...
No, I remember everything, believe me. I'll remember this night for as long as I live, what's happened to me tonight.
What's happened to you tonight?
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
What's happened to me? Where do I start?
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
I was just waiting for the gentleman to say, go ahead, Vernon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vernon.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're not offended by that.
Will you please let this man say what he's going to say? Don't even say it.
Thank you, Phil. Mr. Garvin, I've been listening to you this evening talking about Paul Ryan being a death sentence for the Romney ticket. Basically, that's what you've been saying. You've been saying that this guy Ryan, by virtue of his, silver spoon status, or however you want to put it, by virtue of his being from this very entitled wealthy family in Wisconsin, by virtue of his never having, quote-unquote, worked a day in his life, or whatever it is that you said, you're basically saying that this man is a death sentence to the Republican Party. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying, yes, sir.
All right. Now, it just so happens as I finally got the floor, I have a cough and there's a tickle in my throat and I may not be able to say what I want to say, and what I have to say is going to not only destroy your entire appearance here tonight in terms of my argument, but it will destroy possibly everything that you ever write again, Mr. Garvin, because that's how good my argument's going to be. The only problem is I have a tickle in my throat. And
well, can you get some water?
What are you saying?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to get some coffee. Can I drink some coffee, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, hold on. All right. What
exactly are you saying?
I'm saying that I have an argument that opposes your argument that is so solid it will destroy you, and I may not be able to get it out because I have a... I've got a cough.
You know what? I've heard some real disingenuous comments before.
Are you able to go on?
Oh, yeah. Are you able to go on? Because if you can't go on, you won't be able to come out with the argument that's going to destroy me. Is that right?
That is exactly right. Excuse me.
You're reminding me a lot of Harvey Weierman, a guy that we have on who is a liberal. Otherwise, we'd have him on to replace you. But he's got the same condition.
Maybe you've got Harvey Weierman disease.
Why don't you shut up? I think I'm all right, Phil. All right, here it is. You ready? You better be sitting down for this, Garvin, because I'm about ready to rip you a new A.
You don't have to spell it.
Don't spell it, whatever you do, because that would be anti-decency.
All right, but I'm about to rip you a new one. Here you go. Here it goes. You ready?
Yes, I'm sitting. I'm waiting.
All right. Here we go. Gosh, I'm sorry, Phil.
What? All right, you know what? I'm going to let you go then.
You can't let me go.
Oh, bull crap. This guy has an argument that's going to destroy me, and you're letting him go?
He can't go on.
If I could, I would, because I've got an argument that will shut you down forever.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Well, guess what? I've got a tickle in my throat.
Yeah, I'll bet you've got a tickle, but I bet it ain't in your throat.
What's that mean?
All right, okay. I can't stand it any longer.
Do you want me to keep him on?
No! I don't want to talk to either one of those idiots. I've had about enough of that stuff as I can take. I got an argument that's going to destroy you. I can't get it out because I got a tickle in my throat. Meanwhile, this guy has been busting tables for guys like Paul Ryan his whole life, taking the cigarettes out of the coffee cups and getting farted, you know, some dude farting in his face, and this is why Paul Ryan is no good. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. This will not be the end of this discussion. The relative strength or benefits or lack thereof of Paul Ryan on the Republican ticket. We'll talk about it some more as the days and weeks progress. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Little Ian Anderson, coming up next with a review of the new TV show, Grimm, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get it while it's hot. Backstage pass, that is. Next hour is our news and information hour for this Monday night. Tell you what's happening around the planetoid. And also get you ready for the week ahead and just some other things. Now, little Ian Anderson, who's been on our program from time to time, talking on a variety of topics. We've got him covering one of the, that's our line to the convention center there, bud. I don't think we need that.
Yeah, there ain't anybody there, though.
I don't care if there's anybody there. We got little Ian Anderson. We assigned Ian, you to watch this show, Grimm.
Yes.
Okay, and did you watch it?
Yes, I watched it this evening, and I've got a report I was going to do on it for you.
Okay, good. Tell us.
Right, well, this is a TV program. It's called Grimm. It's on NBC, and it's I forget. There's people that star. I've not got the name of the actors or nothing like that, right?
Okay, that's fine.
But it's a TV show, and it's about this man who is the descendant, right, of the people who are from Grimm. You know, it's like our family.
Okay.
It's like a family, the Grimm family.
All right, so the Grimm family is the fairy tale family?
Right, it's the Grimm fairy tale family. And this man is like a descendant, right, of those people. And he lives up in Portland, Oregon. And, he's got a friend who's also a dog, but he's part dog. He's not a full doesn't want to be a dog, but he is a dog.
And okay, so this guy's a, is he a cop, did you say?
Right, he's a police officer.
In Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir. Right. And so, anyway, he lives in Portland, Oregon, and he has a, like, he's a police officer, but he's got his friend. He's also a friend of his, but he's also a dog.
Is he a dog or is he a person?
Well, he's like a person, but he's changing into a dog. He doesn't want to be a dog. Okay?
Okay, he doesn't want to be a dog. So it's a bad thing.
Right, it's a bad thing. And see, like, the reason that his friend doesn't want to change into a dog is because he'll change into one of these, like, evil creatures, right? What was around back when his family was writing all these Grimm's fairy tales, right? See, because the Grimm fairy tale family, they can see all these creatures. They have the power, see?
The Grimm fairy tale family can see these creatures.
Right.
They're like mythic creatures.
They're like what?
They're like mythic, like make-believe?
Right, they're make-believe, right. But they really do exist, right? And
okay, so they do exist.
Yeah, right, yeah. And that's what they saw when they was making the fairy tales, right? So they saw all these creatures, and that's what the Grimm family can do. And so down through the years, there'd be more and more and more of the Grimm family, right? And then finally, like a lot of families done, the family moves to America, right? And the American Grimms have got the same, they've got the same ability that his family in Europe has. And
okay, so the Grimms here in America can see creatures.
Right.
And one of them is this cop in Portland.
Right, one is this copper in Portland, right? And anyway...
Now, this friend of his...
Well, see, Grimm, he can see when these creatures is around because they take on a human form, right? And that's what his ancestors seen over in Europe in the old days. Right now, in America... Well, they are over here. They follow him over here, right? And so he's looking at the same creatures.
Why did they follow him?
Well, it's not that they followed him. It's just they're all over, and only the Grimm family can see him. And one of them is this dog, but he's friends with the dog, and it's the guy that doesn't want to be a dog.
Well, are the other creatures want to be the creatures they are?
Right, because they're evil, see?
Okay. So this guy is a good guy, and he doesn't want to turn into the dog.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't want to turn into a dog. See? So anyway, so this cop in Portland, Oregon, when he sees that some of them are evil, or like have ill intent, right? Well, he tries to warn everyone, right, and so on and so forth. And like some people, well, maybe they believe him. And some people, maybe they don't, right? And
sure, that's kind of that's the way it is in those stories.
Right. And so his friend, who's a dog that doesn't want to be the dog, right? But his friend, well, he helps him. He's like a helper, you know, and he goes and helps him in the different things that he has to try to find out where these creatures is hiding and so on, right?
Sure.
So the dog... the part dog, he helps him.
But if he turns into a dog, does he turn into a bad guy?
Well, that's the whole thing, see? If his friend turns into a dog, well, he's a bad guy, right? And he's not going to help him. But if he's not the dog, if he's just part dog or all human, well, he can still help him. But if he's all dog, or even sometimes if he's part dog, well, he's going to hurt him, or like tonight's show, they had one bloke, he turned into something like a cat or something, like a saber-toothed tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And he mauled this man. Really, the state of this man, when the police found him, the state of him was just ghastly.
They really ripped into him, huh?
Yeah, really ripped into him, right. So, anyway, that's...
So this police officer from Portland, so all of this takes place in the Northwest, huh?
Right. It's up in Portland, where there's a lot of trees, you know. It's got a nice fairy tale. I think the reason why they did Portland It's got a fairy tale feel to it, right?
Yeah, lots of forests and stuff.
Right, a lot of forests and lots of, like, mountains, like misty mountains and all that, you know. So anyway.
Okay, Ian, that was a great report, man, and I'm going to look forward to that. And we'll have you looking into another show next week, huh?
Right, well, I'm not sure which one. You want me to look at New Girl?
No, why?
Well, because if you're going to be on this show, right?
Well, no, don't do New Girl just because I'm going to be on the show. I thought you did New Girl last year.
Well, I did, but I thought I'd do it again just to make sure that you, you know, not piss anybody off. I shouldn't say that, but, you know.
No, don't worry about it. We'll find a show. All right, Ian, little Ian Anderson. Thanks, buddy.
Right.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I could do a better job than him.
I like the way he did that, man. It was very clear. And he doesn't go off on a tangent. He answers my questions, and,
Yeah, he ain't too bright, though.
So he ain't too bright. You guys some kind of brain surgeons? Nobody's too bright on this show.
Yeah, well, you just said, then you're dumb, too.
I never said I wasn't dumb. You kidding? This is the capital of dumb, this show. We'll be right back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show News and Information Hour. Grim, gotta watch it.
Woo!
Actually, I've never seen the show. Oh, I'm only kidding.
What?
Phil Hendry.